have a mission. We have a mission. We raise strong individuals to create a long-term winning team, but not just on the pitch, off the pitch. What this is very important moment for me. This is what I realized in MFF. I saw actually very glad people who were part of MFF and who were not part of MFF A team, but what once in a career, maybe in an academy, in a youth career, they're gonna tell you today, MFF helped me to create me as an elite, as an athlete, and as a person. So,
hello, welcome to a special edition of Shoot Defense. I'm your host, Stel, as ever, and my co-host this evening is none other than Sam Sawney. Welcome back, young man. Wow, you've got a haircut as well.
No haircuts during lockdown. I haven't broken any rules.
Sure you haven't given your missus the scissors then?
I would be bald if that was the case. And this is being
listen, I had this discussion with Mike Pieri last week. He had a haircut and I says, your missus cut your hair. My mum cut my dad's hair and she's partially blind.
I think to be honest, she's probably pretty good at it. It's just I'm the nervous person in that relationship.
Scared of a woman with a pair of scissors behind your head. Yes.
Why give the person more reasons than they need? Then I give them already.
There you go. Say no more, mate. Say no more. Right. We've got a very special guest. He is an academy coach at Malmo, the most successful team in Swedish football. It's Boris Bjorkanovic. How are you doing, Boris? Welcome to the show, mate.
Thank you, Stel. Really pleasure and honor to be here with you guys tonight. You're great.
Pleasure is all ours, mate. How have you been during this whole lockdown situation?
To be honest, here in Sweden, like, of course, we are under the pandemic as the rest of the world. But to be honest, if I compare to Croatia, where my parents live, and we still let's have some kind of normal life, if I can say that. In terms of sport, right now we have a problem just with our preparation games because we cannot play friendly games because in Sweden we start season beginning of April. So just that, of course, fans and spectators. But in terms of trainings, some kind of restriction. Yeah, we are here. We are holding distance. We are following recommendations of the government, and life is pretty okay, if I can say so.
Well, that's good to hear. You know, we spoke to Christian from Your Gardens last week, and he said something very similar. It's very difficult to get over this situation, but you've just got to do what you can do and make the most of it, I guess.
Exactly.
There you go. Right, before we start talking about Malmo, you, my friend, have done a lot of traveling, haven't you, over the years?
Too much.
So you're originally from Croatia. You've spent time in Hungary because you were a central midfielder or a midfielder.
Central midfielder. I would like to. I was midfielder, but I was like center back.
All right. So you were like a holding midfielder. Then. So what kind of player were you then? Asanovic was like attacking forward.
Yeah, I would compare myself rather with Slaven Bilic because most of my career I play like center back. So sounds very nice to see myself in the middle, create something, but center back
Slaven Bilic. Slaven Bilic was a beast.
Generation we said before. Generation 98 for us in Croatia, I was like 13, 14 years old. For us was everything, you know. They were third in the world. And those guys, Suker, Boban, Asanovic, Prosinecki. Yeah, they were our idols. And because of them, probably my generation start with serious football because of them. Yeah,
I can imagine. And the latest group with Modric and all these other players.
This is my generation, and I can from the on the other side. When I play in Croatia, first league, I play against Modric, Eduardo da Silva, Čorluka, Mandžukić, and they are great players. We didn't know they're gonna play in Bayern, Real Madrid, but as a football player, they already playing Dinamo Zagreb in the best team in Croatia in the last decades, two decades. And then, could feel that they are like really, really class players. And even later that they proved that. And I'm glad I could share the pitch with them. All everywhere I went to play, Croatia has a really, really good rating. And of course, I'm thankful for my country's mates did great results last two decades. Yeah.
Well, you come from a place where football culture is strong, especially a fan culture. And then you spent time in Hungary with Honved. You spent time in Greece. You even went to Cyprus for Adromidos, Yoroskibu. That must have been the most eye-opening experience for you in comparison to all the other leagues that you played in.
The football journey is great. You never know what's going to happen. You know, you are not in the position you can... At least most of the players, 90% of the players, you are not in the position to choose a team, right? So if you play some kind of division like Croatian, Swedish, Hungarian division, you are already professional players. You need to have some skills. But then football journey is really, really great journey. You never know what brings tomorrow. You have some agents, you have some contacts, you can have a good season, you can have a season with injuries, and then your future is not guaranteed. And then and now when I see in my career, wow, like 12, 13 teams, some of them I really like to play, some of them I play because maybe I didn't have a team, but after all the great experience. So open the door for the career after football, in football. So all my clubs, I have some great friends there, great football players. And everywhere I used to play, I have just good memories. So I started in Croatia, first division, as I said, 20, 21 years old. And then a little bit Slovenia, which is really near. So like, let's say we like Sweden and Denmark, similar type of football. And but yeah, as I said, Croatia has a good ranking. And then when you play once in a Croatian first league, then you already have some kind of ratings and renommé. So after that, Hungarian league. Cyprus was perfect. I was really enjoy you agree yourself. I like mentality. It was even too good, you know, for football. You have Ayanapa, you have Paphos, you have Limassol.
It's well, the thing is, you say that, but did you get paid on time?
Last 2-3 months was difficult because they knew season is soon over, and then they have some kind of financial problem in Astromitos. Some players already left in other teams, so it was difficult to stay in division, and they already tried to calculate. Yeah, but as I said, look, so many other nice memories, and I don't want to be stuck with those kind of memories. And let's say if I didn't get everything what I expected, so what is on my contract, so who cares now? I survived, and as I said, still friends on Cyprus. Anytime I can go, I can travel there, and I would be happy to see my ex-coaches, sport directors, and some of my ex-teammates.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, your playing career ended in Sweden, which is where you're at right now. How did you get the role at Malmö? When did you actually start doing your coaching badges?
While I was playing football, I was always interesting to study on to do something else, because I knew football career is short and you need to have a backup plan. You need to do something. Most of my friends, they are doing something with football, of course. They can be agents, they can be some kind of coaches, individual coaches. Some of them goes to preparation coach, condition, things like that. Most of them are in football, yes. And I said, well, okay, I would like to have some backup plan, even if it's not a football. So that's why I study law, and I finished law in Croatia during my career. It was tough. Sometimes it was really like tough in terms of, I didn't want to tell some coaches, because in Croatia there was a little bit taboo when you said, yeah, I'm a professional football player and I'm studying, you know. And you could be a little bit, what? You're a football player and you're studying, you know. Decide, my friend. If you're going to study, if you're going to play football, it's up to you. But I want to have 100% focused players. But for me, it was like, I was 100% professional. I did my things and everything. So, but I didn't want to like play FIFA. I didn't want to play cards. So in my free time, I used to read. So it was some kind of relaxation for me, actually, to read books. And then I have when we have like 2-3 weeks free in summer, I go in Croatia, I give some exams. So it was good. So in the end of career, I had a chance to do my license in Croatia Federations, those basic license for the kids, let's say, youth. So I did it last 2 years of my career. I did those kind of license. Then I moved to Sweden after career, not because of the football. I was already 32, 33, and I felt problems with my back. 33 years old, I'm a big guy, 195, 100 kilos. Many jumps in career. Of course, body is tired. So it was like I was on the edge, and then I said, okay, it's enough. 12 years enough. 5 first European leagues. I'm satisfied. It could be better, but it could be also much more worse, right? So I didn't have any complex. I didn't have any frustration of my career. I was glad. But then I have some friends in Sweden, and I just came for holiday, cousins to see. No football, nothing about it. Just came here to rest from football. I studied 2 years global politics on English, doing a little bit of global things. And then I was on one football conference about protecting minors, because when I say I was not in football, I was not a professional football player anymore. I was not coach, but I was all the time with football. Let's say I used my legal side, what I have in law. So I was reading about transfers, and anyway, my master thesis from Croatia is a sport law. It's about football transfers, and I was doing comparison in football system in labor law in Croatia and in few countries in Europe. So this is some kind of my passion. And then I was in one conference, and then I met representatives of Malmö. So I was already 2 years in Sweden. So yeah, we just talk, and they said, Boris, we would like to have you in Malmö FF. Come, we can talk, we can see. And they were really like, when you feel somebody wants to have you, then is extra motivation as well. So as I said before, sometimes you have to ask. It's not the same thing in football when you knock on the door and when somebody call you, like in life. Of course, you have to offer, you have to do maximum, you cannot give up. But, and then with Malmö, yes. And the story with Malmö started two years ago, and this is fantastic. This is fantastic journey, and still we are still on.
You know what, judging by the tone of your voice and the way that you and I have spoken in the past, this club fills you with a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of excitement. And you know, for people that are watching or listening that don't understand the size of Malmö, you're talking about a club that was founded in 1910. You know, Roy Hodgson was their head coach in 1985, and he won 5 consecutive league titles. I think they're the only Scandinavian team to get into a European Cup final, which was in 1979. And when you look at their academy, and Sam, I'll pass this over to you in just a moment. When you look at Malmö's academy over the years, they've produced such fine players like Patrick Anderson, Jonas Tern, Stefan Schwarz, Martin Dahlin, who's one of my favourite strikers, who did very well at USA 94, and obviously Ibrahimovic. You can't forget Ibra. So, Sam, you know, you coming from a youth background, when you hear those names, what do you think about a club like that?
It obviously invests in grassroots. It understands its community. And it also, I've happened through in-laws to have some Swedish family, so I haven't been over as much, but I take a personal interest in the life over there. Football is part of the culture I'm sure Boris would agree, it's part of the culture rather than it being forced. And they've, as we know, in the 50s, when the Swedish national team reached World Cup finals, you know, this country has a history of football. It's not just it's been forced upon them. And I guess, I was just throwing a question to Boris, which is, does that kind of allude closer to your kind of where you originally came from, your background in Croatia, where football is part of your DNA? Do you see similar things in Sweden with the culture from youth to family to, you know, the whole, you know, that wraparound, as we call it in England, the wraparound concept? It's not just the kids go and play football. It's part of their life. Does that ring true to you? Is that correct?
Yes. Now, when I'm here, absolutely. I feel that way. But let's say when I was in Croatia, this is the perception of Scandinavia and the perception of Nordic world. We see ourselves like Balkan. We are like small Brazil. And this is like, we are a bit cocky. We play football. We are for football every day. Not in bad terms. But then I also have a little bit, I was not sure, like Sweden football, but yes, now Stel is saying, if you're just going to Google and you're going to see which history Sweden has in football, 50s, and then later on, 94, USA, right? Third in the world, World Cup. Malmö played final of the Champions League, 79. Or there was Cup, European Cup, but this is like today. And of course, and then I came here and I see the families who are like three generations like football players. Let's say my sport director, Daniel Anderson, his brother Patrick, his father Roy, they are one generation of football. They have thousands games for MFF, for Malmö FF. They have together 300 games in for national team.
Lineage, that's the word.
Yeah, right. So it's one of the examples which shows that, especially here in Malmö regions, we call it Skåne. It's really, really football region. We are nearest to Europe. We have a connection with Denmark. Germany is close. Right. And then I came here and then I said, when I see, I'm coaching those small kids, like 2011, born 2011. And then I see so much passion for parents, grandfathers, grandmothers. So as Sam said, it's a way of life, actually. It's a way of life. You feel football in Malmö on every step.
Oh, I can imagine, mate. And Sam, you coached in Dubai and obviously you're back in the UK. If the philosophy on youth development and the parents and the relatives of these children had the same or similar thought process as those in Sweden, I'm sure you'd still be out in Dubai, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that I'd go back to is what Boris said about, like, you know, USA 94. So that was where I was 14 years old when that tournament happened. I was in the US and I saw some of the games, but I always remember the Sweden Romania penalty shootout with Thomas Ravelli. Now I'm showing you the level of Swedish interest I have. And Thomas Ravelli was, if you look at him now, like if that was a goalkeeper now in 2021, he would be on kids' walls, you know, he would be part of their Panini cards. He was a personality, because people sometimes look at Swedish or Scandinavian football and I've certainly seen the accusation that they're robotic, that they play a certain brand of football. And I've always disagreed with that, which is, no, they don't. They take influence. I mean, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, a great example of someone he's a multicultured individual who's obviously tailored a certain game. He's got something about him, a swagger, and people want that. And that's something I used to discuss with some of the families and players in Dubai, where they'd look, it's, you know, as Stel, you'll know well about the country having been there, it's still a relatively new nation period. Football, divide that by half. So it's about 50 odd years old, 20, maybe 25 years old. Divide that by half again in terms of what they're trying to develop. And certainly with, say, youth provision, they're still working out actually what technical football means and developing a football culture. But they can learn a lot from looking at countries like Sweden, who actually have taken the best from the rest, but they've made it their own. I remember some of the teams of the past that have played in Europe, and they play quite an attractive attacking brand of football, but they still develop, you know, those classic players that we see out there. And certainly in terms of forwards, one player that a young Swedish boy actually that I coached in Dubai, he used to tell me was Kenneth Anderson. He would do his celebration every time he scored, you know the one. But also it was just the fact that these players historically have done more than just score goals. They actually represent their nation and they remember. This is a nine-year-old boy, he's a bit older now. A nine-year-old boy. Kenneth Anderson retired more than 9 years ago, if my memory's right. So my point is that there's something about that country and the way that football is seen as the fabric of society. It makes people happy. It sounds like a cliche. It gives them something to do. And I know I always think that's a bigger deal. And Dubai will, I certainly explain that because the way the calendar, that the Swedish calendar, the league calendar is so different, obviously, to the European calendar. Yet, despite that, they've had levels of success. And despite that, they've developed players to go off and play at the highest levels. So there's a lot that can be learned from certainly my side. And I when I try, I do try to watch. In fact, I probably should watch more now that we've had this chat today.
There you go, mate. Well, Boris, tell me about this role that you have at the club. And, you know, again, how do you, I presume the club has got a philosophy. Like I said, I hate to bring this up again. I spoke to Christian, who was at Djurgården last week. I'm interested to know the similarities between the clubs, if there are any, because he mentioned the four-point process. Do you guys have something similar?
Probably. We, you know, the Scandinavians, they are really structured people, and I like it. We more like, they, of course, they have some spontaneous moments, but believe me, after few years here, then you realize it really helps in the process of developing and everything. So there is some kind, we would like to say some kind of specific elements so we have in MFF. But of course, there is some kind of similarity. I'm sure there is similarity between Nordic clubs. So we have also something which is for us is foundation. And this is despite what you're doing, which kind of role you have in club and which kind of position you have. We all together, we represent our ambition, joy, fair play, and everything above is that club is above all. So you have with ambition and courage, we want to reach success with positive attitude and entertainment. We create joy and we follow the rules, not just on the pitch, also outside of the pitch. And as I said, the club above the team above the individual. And this is what we share all together. And we have a mission. We have a mission. We raise strong individuals to create a long-term winning team, but not just on the pitch, off the pitch. What this is very important moment for me. This is what I realized in MFF. I saw actually very glad people who were part of MFF and who were not part of MFF A team, but what once in a career, maybe in an academy, in a youth career, they're gonna tell you today, MFF helped me to create me as an elite, as an athlete, and as a person. So here in Scandinavia, we have we have some kind of debt to society because society gave to us. We have sponsors, we have fans, so we would like to give something back. And this is what we would like to create individuals. We would like to create persons who are not going to be frustrated after the football career, even if their path with MFF is done. So this is one of the most important characteristic what we have in Malmö FF, what I mentioned. Beside that, there is a vision in club. Of course, there is something what is necessary to survive, and this is our fuel, our vision. We want to be a lead. We want to be one of the. We want to be leader in the Nordic region. We want to challenge Europe. We want to be a club who is a brand, not just in Malmö. We want to be a brand in Sweden. We want to show Swedish football through us as well. And We want to be a role model leading the development and active part of social development.
Fantastic. So which age groups do you coach, Boris? Which
we have a little bit specific system here in MFF. My age group is U10. So we have that luxury that we have a football school in MFF. So everybody from 5 to 8, it's door open to everybody. So there is no selection there. So everybody are welcome. When they are 9 years old, we have a first selection, which can be a little bit stress for everyone, for the parents, for the kids, for the school. But we understand that. But we do one process, when scouting process and process of selection, and then we choose best of them. Let's say between 15 and 20. I have this luxury that I went to the football school. I was watching their last month of training, and me and my colleague, we just pick best. This is luxury. Not every club can do that, of course. And I don't say that only MFF school kids are the best kids, because we cannot guarantee some of them with 8-9 years. Sam is going to agree with me, I'm sure, and you as well. You cannot guarantee, even you see someone who is great skills and everything, you cannot guarantee he's going to be a player. Or even you cannot say for someone, okay, I'm not sure I'm going to pick this guy now, but who knows, maybe he's going to be a player for some other way, some other path. But yes, and then I had like this luxury to pick the guys and start with them 3 years program. So we have 3 years program in Sweden, which is they play 7 men football, let's say. Then in these circumstances, in these conditions, we have a special mode to coach them, to play games, to work on our philosophy, on our training and game style. So this is really good, because for us, maybe it's when you say like some clubs, they do first selection with 10, 12, which is fine. But we think in MFF, okay, we are going to do it right now, because they are already capable with 9, 10. Because if we do it now, it's going to be much more easier for them when they come to ages 12, 13, some logical way, I would say. So yeah, now I'm a second year with my team, with my colleague, and I'm really enjoying. And as I said, we have a special way how we train them. We have a program and philosophy that we believe, we as a coaches, we believe in them. Our bosses believe in us. And I think it's a good cohesion and a good synergy between players, between parents, and between our staff. So this is one of my one of my job in MFF. Besides that, I'm doing I'm instructor in our academy. We have a school. We have a football academy which is connected with the school, which is fantastic again, because we have a possibility to coach our players during the school time. Of course, they have to do their school obligations. This is number one, because we don't share football and school. We think it must go together, and it is the way how we do. And I can tell you, 2 years while I'm here, our players are really, really good in school. So school is very happy that they have a Malmö MFF coaches. They can train their guys in the school time. And this is also my part of my job, to train our three teams who goes to grade 7, 8, and 9. So we coaches, we just jump in. We have some kind of schedule. Maybe this week I have class 7, next week class 8. And then besides that, I have some kind of, I'm also a scout. I'm a part of a developing group. So we are working on our game style. We are trying to improve our philosophy. We have something which calls the sky blue way. So this is our color, and this is some kind of Bible book, which we try to summarize everything in our football school, connected with the school, with the football, with the philosophy, with the spare time, with the cost, with everything. So this is our daily job. So we try to improve that every day. We are very critical to ourselves. We try to find the best way for our players. And beside that, I have also I'm a coordinator for four teams between the under 12, under 16, and this is also an administrative job to find opponents. This is a cooperation with federation, with for example with the referees and things like that. very dynamic job, and Malmö FF gives you possibility to rise together with the whole organization. It's not like, Boris, you are coach and then you are just a coach. Okay, Boris, we would like you to be a coach, but we would like to include you in other processing club, which is, I'm very thankful. And this is what, if they trust in me, then I'm sure I can show that that they have right.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, when you look at clubs like Ajax, for example, in the Netherlands, who are seen as somewhat of a conveyor belt for talent, a lot of their players do come from other clubs. You know, they signed Ibra from yourselves for a big bit of money. But my question to you, Boris, is how much pressure are you under to find that next star? And I ask this to every academy coach. And the reason why I say this is because if you look at, say, for example, someone like Kulusevski, who's at Juventus at the moment, he started his career in Sweden, he's a Swedish player. He left his club at 16 years old, went to Atalanta. And at 16 years old, he's in Serie A. And I guess the club that he was at before in Stockholm are probably going to get a certain amount of money after a certain amount of appearances at Juventus, I presume. And maybe that's some kind of agreement between the clubs. But, you know, your club has produced so many fantastic footballers. And I guess the money that has been generated over the years has helped keep the club afloat. But then obviously you got into the Champions League last season, I think it was, if I'm not correct.
Two years ago, last two seasons, we are in the Europa League group stage. And
so you've got reached European competition, which obviously there's money coming in. But prior to that, it was just a lot of money generated from player sales. Am I correct? So are you under that much pressure to find that starlet? Or is the club saying, well, you can find them, you can evolve them, help develop them, but it's up to us to bring them through?
This is a good question. I think the pressure is a part of this business. I would say business. Pressure is a part of football. And without pressure, without kind of motivation, I think I need to have some kind of motivation which comes together with the pressure. So in that way, yes, for sure, to do my job best as I can, but not in terms you have to, you must to find the player. You need to create player. You need to create new Zlatan. We need new Zlatan to survive. No, not in that way. We just believe that our way of developing individuals together with the team, of course, this is a collective sport, is something which is going to give us potential. A Barcelona player or something like that. And last year's results show that we are doing a good thing, because if you see this kind of list, how many academies, how many players playing now in a European level, coming from academies background, Malmö is top 25 teams in Europe. So we are on, let's say we are on top in that way. So we don't have any pressure that we have to, we must, but we're going to do our job, and we believe in this philosophy is going to give us results.
Great stuff. Sam, you got any questions, mate? I feel like I'm dominating this.
I'm taking mental notes. I think Boris and I have to have conversation another time. It's really interesting. I'll go into that in a moment. Boris, with the global situation with things like Black Lives Matter and diversity, what does that mean to Malmo and Sweden in general? I know Sweden has had some issues generally around race and, you know, diversity as a society. Do you see any of that happening at Malmo? Any challenges or any, I don't like to use the word initiative because that makes it sound like it's a trendy thing, but like, what does diversity mean to the club and to you personally?
You know what? This is really multicultural place. It just can, for you, one mandate, it's like 31% of Malmo residents were born abroad. So what that means? And believe me, still, I used to live in 6 European countries, minimum 1 year. And comparing to other countries, there is no ideal society. There is no. But comparing to others, those countries, Sweden is very, very liberal country with not so much racism problem, I would say. So, of course, there is some percentage of people who are probably have a problem with that, that it's not just Swedish population here, but it's like in any other part of the world. In Malmö, we have a zero tolerance on that or any kind of discrimination. And believe me, this works in practice as well. This is not just a piece of paper. This is something which works in practice a lot. And we are very strict about that. In my team, I never thought about it, but if you ask me, in my team, players are all around the world, and they are all Swedish for Swedes for us. We don't have any problem with that. And I have 3-4 players from Balkan, 3 from South America, a few original Swedish. Now, when I'm talking about that, for me, it sounds very strange to share kids on some kind of race base or where their parents coming from. So we are very, very, very strict about that. And as you know, Sweden and Scandinavia is one of the best countries for foreigners, let's say. So just take a look how many refugees Sweden accepted. And as I said, many generations are coming here. And after 1-2 generation, they are so thankful they live in Sweden. They don't have any problems. They're coming from other part of the world. And of course, in sport and in football club as Malmö FF, we have many players from other countries, but believe me, they have absolutely same rights some like other players from Sweden. So I didn't notice that. And this, as you said, Black Lives Matters. Of course, this is something what here is going to be always accepted.
Great stuff. Wonderful. Cheers, Boris. Thanks for that, mate. My next question is about the catchment. Now, Malmö, I believe that's the only major club in the city. Is that correct? Do you want to talk about that?
Exactly. Yeah. Malmö is maybe some, if you compare with Stockholm, Stockholm is bigger. Göteborg as well. But Malmö is the only Allsvenska team. As when I say Allsvenska, super league team. And there is this situation is like that. Malmö has a lot of teams, but no one has a tradition and some kind of success as Malmö FF. But it's not because Malmö wants to rule or something like that. I'm going to tell you now our academy example. We are not allowed. We never do we are not having a monopoly over all other players in so if there is some good players in some other team, me as a coach, I cannot approach to the father and say, hey, I would like to have your kid here. because it's not correct in Swedish way, in Malmö way, because we don't want to. There is a lot of small clubs maybe who wants to survive, and they have some kind of not academy, but they try to build team by team. And then if you go there and you pick players, doesn't matter how good he is, we're not going to do that. So we take care for society, we take care for our city, we take care for our region as well. This is one of the way to show, okay, we're going to support our little brothers around. So of course, if someone is really good, there is initiative, they can send a letter of interest to MFF, and then maybe we can organize some test week, but never that we go first, especially for those kids, so which are like until 14, if I'm don't take me wrong, maybe the 13, 14. So we don't pick players from the other teams. Of course, later there is a scouting group which has contacts, but always with the respect with those teams who are in the, let's say, in position, not like MFF. So we know we are aware that we are the biggest team here, but we are not using that in a bad way.
Yeah, the reason why I bring this up, because when you look at, say, for example, Stockholm, I think there are three top teams
now. Hammarby, Djurgården, and AIK. They also Brommapojkarna, Syrianska near there. Yeah, but let's talk about the pool. This is a Stockholm pool. So 5-6 Allsvenskan team are there. Göteborg the same. 3-4 teams. Malmö, yeah, we have Malmö, and then we have like our rivals in Helsingborg, which is like 60 kilometers. This is our regional derby. But nothing like city derby or something like that.
Well, the reason why I bring it up, because if you look at London, I know London is a huge city, but you've got Arsenal, Tottenham, Chelsea, Fulham, Crystal Palace, Charlton, all these clubs looking for players within that region. Whereas Malmö, you've got one club in one city, so you've got more availability or more options to bring players in, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah,
compare it to the Stockholm size, I've got three clubs in the top league. They're trying to fight it.
The other thing is, let's say Malmö has like around 330,000 inhabitants. So Stockholm is like triple bigger. Göteborg is double. So comparing to that, maybe it's fine for us to have only one team, because maybe if we have a larger population, maybe probably we could have two, three teams. If I'm going to be like a mathematician, but probably in that way, as you said, yeah, we have then luxury that all the best coming to us. Yeah, I can agree with that.
Great stuff. Well, I've got one more question with regards to you and your role. I'm not going to ask, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? Because no one knows where they're going to be in 5 years' time. But in terms of your development and your progress at the club, do you eventually want to take a more senior role working with the under 21s or the B team or even the first team?
As I said, I think step by step, This club, this organization, when I say organization, this is much more than football club. This is much more than first team. This comes from the kitchen, from the ladies who are cleaning, and we are like developing and rising every day on a daily basis with the hard work. I'm really not sure what my role is going to be in Malmö FF in 5 years, but I see myself as a soldier with some ambition. And right now I'm a part of academy. I'm a part of Malmö youth development. And probably I'm going to be a coach, having this time is 3-year program for those youngsters. Maybe after I'm going to have another team, I'm going to be more included in scouting. Maybe I'm going to be more included in this kind of developing program. So right now I have like full-time job here, and I really enjoy dealing my competence and dealing my working assignments. And yeah, I'm just enjoying doing my job. And I have a really, really good bosses who knows my capabilities, and I'm sure we're gonna find a good way for me. So my focus is now on my team, and my focus is now on to develop academy through the scouting, through analyzing the all programs and philosophy we have.
Wonderful, mate. Thank you very much. Sam, any questions?
What's your favorite food in Sweden? I always ask that.
You know this from...
It's an easy one.
Yeah, from IKEA. The köttbullar. This is like meatballs. Meatballs.
Yeah. Easy food.
Easy. Best. Simple. I can eat it always.
And what was your favorite food in Cyprus when you were out there?
That can be a little bit difficult to many good things there.
It is okay, don't worry about it. We'll talk about this another time. Well, Boris, look, thank you very much for your time, mate. That was absolutely fantastic.
No, and
hopefully we can do this again sometime. It was really, really interesting.
It would be my pleasure. It would be my pleasure. Maybe we can talk with a little bit more about Cyprus.
Maybe we can talk about Cyprus. We can talk about Croatia as well, because I want to talk about these players you play against and alongside. That'd be great.
But, and I hope after this all madness are over, you can be my guest in some game of in MFF.
Thank you very much.
So I can show you facilities and everything.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
My pleasure and honor.
Wonderful. Thank you. Well, look, before I let you go, have you got any social media accounts you want to mention? Anything you want to bring up, or so our followers can get in touch?
Yeah, the people can find me on my name and surname. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. So I'm open to cooperation, and I'm looking forward for all football colleagues to contact me if they see something interesting in this kind of conversation we had now.
Fantastic. Sam, anything else you want to bring up?
No, just it's been a pleasure to listen to Boris. I'm normally the one chewing Stel's ear off, so it was nice to hear somebody else's story for once.
Come on, do your socials then. Come on, mate.
It's at Sawno, SAWHNO, or at Motivate SF, MOTIV8SF.
Is that Twitter or Insta or both?
It's both, but no. I should be on it more than I am.
Okay, and you're on LinkedIn as well?
Yes, via my name. A bit like Boris, just the name's enough for LinkedIn.
The professional Facebook.
That's the plan.
That's it. Right, guys, you can hit us up on Instagram at Shoot Defence. We're also on Twitter at Shoot Defence. And I'm not going to give you my LinkedIn because I don't want you guys to know it. So until next time, take care.